Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is October 17th, 2017. And we're talking about our article, a career article titled Navigating Your Career and the Workplace. And this is day two of this article. I hope you joined us yesterday to learn about Emily McClellan and her firm Springboard Career Consultants. There's a lot of good information in here about helping out 20-somethings, people who are not just right out of college, but people also in the workplace for a few years, because this can be very helpful. Most of the time, most people don't get really good career advice. And what happens is we're okay when we go through high school and university. It's all really pretty structured for us. It's laid out what classes to take, what tests to take, what to study. And then we're cut loose. We get our diploma, and a lot of people get lost at sea. Some people have a clear career path, and they go in one direction. Not that that is the answer to all things, but they get started at least in one direction. But a lot of people either don't get started, or a lot of people get started and they become disillusioned with their work. D-I-S-I-L-L-U-S-I-O-N-E-D, disillusioned. They become, did I spell it right? Disillusioned. And they, you know, become frustrated. Yeah, a lot of people will study something in college, then they go out and work for a year or two in their job, and they're like, wow, I hate this. And so that's okay. That's okay, because a lot of people do that. A lot of people will make a mistake. No problem. Let's reboot. That's what Emily McClellan is going to try and help people to do. Reboot, get started again, get right back on track. My panelists from yesterday are here for day two. Josh Bickle and Linda Chung. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Great to have you here for day two. And did you learn anything from day one?
I did. Well, I wanted to point out that on page 28, the last paragraph, we just touched on an internship being the most appropriate position for this young woman that McClellan was helping. And that can be a good option for a lot of people. Especially if you're not sure if you want to get into a particular career or industry, you can do an internship, and that will give you experience in that industry.
And an important consideration is this. We think typically internships are like something you do in college, maybe between your sophomore and junior year, or between your junior and senior year. But an internship is also something you can do after graduating. You can do an internship even after you've been out at work. A lot of people don't realize, hey, you know, you're 25, 26, 27 years old. It's okay. You can go do an internship, particularly if you want to get into a field. And it's a great way to get in, meet people. A lot of times, even the company that you're doing the internship will hire you.
Right. That would be the most ideal result from your internship, that you can parlay that into a full-time position, can turn that into a full-time job.
Okay. Josh, do you have something from day one?
Well, as far as language goes, I thought it was really interesting when they used the word germ, as, you know, most of us are familiar with germs as the small little things that make us sick. But there is another idea behind germ, and that is something small that can grow into something bigger or more complete. So the germ of a seed is the part that germinates and grows into a full plant. And so I think it's interesting to think about us when we're looking at careers, that we have a germ inside of us, our core skills and interests that can really grow into something much bigger in a career.
You both talked about your academic background in university. I had asked about that. And it's very interesting the combinations that you had as far as Linda had biology and was it art history?
Art history, yes.
And so that's a really unique combination. You might say a biology is like a technical skill. Art history is a liberal arts skill. And I actually like that because it's a mixture of what you might say interest, and then also maybe something that some people might say is maybe a science or a pragmatic skill as far as finding work. A lot of parents might say, oh, you'll never find a job in art history. Go study biology. You can go be a doctor. That's a very typical mantra you might hear from parents, not only here in Asia, but in America, too. And but the thing is, and I recommend that students do that when they're in school, study both. Okay, you got something you're interested in, but also study something else if your parents are pushing in that. Because you better be interested in what you're going to do for work, right?
Right. Yeah, you should at least have an interest in whatever career you plan to get into.
Yeah, I see a lot of people in everywhere pushed into careers because their parents think, oh, this is what you should go into, particularly being a doctor, being a lawyer, being in, whether it's computers or engineering. I see this all the time, and it's usually focused on, well, you're going to make money in this. And that's great, but the problem is a lot of people go into these fields and they hate it after a while. Not that they're bad fields, but if their heart is not in it, if your heart is not in this field, don't do it. Okay? Don't go be a doctor because your mom and dad said you need to be a doctor. Because if your heart's not in it, you will hate it. Okay? And it's true for anything. And so we need to really address what it is that we're interested in, plus a combination of practicality. So Josh had a very different situation with his educational background. And like many people, studied one thing, didn't quite work out, and then he ended up in a situation where almost, I would say, the bottom fell out.
It's a very good description of what happened. Very good description of what happened. So the bottom did kind of fall out of the industry. There was a lot of changes that were happening in the, at the time. It was a technological change.
Yep.
And there was also an industry change as well, in that there wasn't as much reverence or focus on really supporting that side of the industry. So a lot of people ended up having to kind of be their own self-made people, mm-hmm. and that really made it very difficult to follow through with that as a career.
Okay, all right. A lot of complications, and this is why this consulting that Emily McClellan is doing, as far as very specific for the person, talking about their skills, is so important today, because the whole workplace is changing. And rather than general, we really need to focus on what are my gifts, what are my talents, what are my interests, and then go from there. Okay, thanks for being here for today. I'm glad you're here. Let's have our first reading. We're going to split it up into two readings. Our first reading will be over in that left column.
And don't think career counselors are only for the newly minted graduates. Rebecca Lurie, 28, sought career counseling 3 years into her first job. I felt pressure to decide what to do next, and I wanted to talk to someone about what I was envisioning for the long term in my career, Lurie said. While Lurie didn't end up switching jobs or fields, she says going to a career counselor helped validate her decision to go to business school. The career counselor I saw also assisted me in putting together a network of people I know, beyond just my friends. I found that extremely useful because it helped me think about how broad my network is and how to use that group of people as I progress in my career, said Lurie.
All right, we were just talking about that prior to this reading, how this is not something just for people right out of university, but in particular, what I've seen in my teaching and also in my training here in Asia and also in America, boy, there's a group of people, I would say even the 25 to 35 group, that is really, I would say, susceptible to career disruption, susceptible. S-U-S-C-E-P-T-I-B-L-E, susceptible, meaning they're open to or they're vulnerable to losing their job, things happening at companies, they get cut from their job, or they get into their job and they're like, wow, I hate this. And so between the 25-35 age group, and then it comes time, we got to reboot. And so, and that's what this starts out and says, don't think career counselors are only for the newly minted graduates. What do we mean, newly minted graduates?
Well, here it's like when you mint currency or coins or dollar bills. So it means you created them fresh and new,
yeah,
and they're just about ready to go into circulation. So it's the same for newly minted graduates, is that they're fresh and new graduates of a college or university, and they're ready to go out into the workplace.
Like those shiny gold coins,
exactly,
or silver coins. They're nice and shiny. So, but in this next sentence, we meet somebody who is right in the middle of that group I was talking about, Rebecca Lurie.
Right. She's 28, and after 3 years into her first job, she wanted to get career counseling to change,
okay,
her job.
Why did she seek this career counseling?
Well, she felt pressure to decide what to do next, and she wanted to talk to someone about what she was envisioning for the long term in her career.
All right. Why would she feel pressure?
Well, she probably had doubts, you know, like at this point, like, I've been working 3 years. Should I change my job? Is this going to be lucrative? Is this, you know, how will it affect my career path? Also, maybe outside pressure, maybe pressure from her parents, like you,
yeah,
mentioned previously.
Yeah.
So there are different factors that she needed. Maybe confirmation.
Yeah. Also, I was just thinking, obviously parents, but pressure from peers, are the people around us, our friends, and also this pressure we kind of put on ourselves because we compare ourselves to our peers. We look at everybody else and we think their life is perfect. Look at their careers. They're fabulous. And I'm kind of lost. Well, again, most people are in the same position. They may not look that way, but a lot of people are going through life, particularly after this situation, after 3 years in the workplace. Because usually what happens is people get out of college and we work 3 or 4 years and we're like, wow, this is like not what I expected. And it's a whole different world out there. And so we put a lot of pressure on ourselves because we're like, wow, I got all this education and here I am. And it's like, this is not working out exactly what I thought it would be. So, don't put so much pressure on yourself. I would advise you to do that. Take it easy on yourself. Give yourself a break, right? Life does not go along perfectly. Life is messy. So just be ready for that and deal with it. One of the things then which says here that she wanted to talk to somebody because she was envisioning for the long term in her career. What's that mean, envisioning?
So when you envision something, you have a picture in your head of the way you want things to turn out.
Okay. All right. This is the painting in your mind. Well, how should this look? Now, while Lurie didn't end up switching jobs or fields, she says
that going to a career counselor helped validate her decision to go into business school.
Okay, what's that mean? Validate, Linda.
Well, confirm your decision on something to confirm its accuracy or soundness, make sure that she is making the right decision.
Okay, here's what I'm getting from this sentence right here, helped validate her decision to go to business school. It doesn't say it in this article. I'm guessing she went to business school, she studied business, and after 3 years, sounds to me like if she needs validation, she was questioning this. She was like, what did I do? Why did I study this? I should have studied biology and art history like Linda Chung, and I would be happy, but instead I went to business school. And she's having some doubts after 3 years. So, but meeting with Emily McClellan validated that decision. She looked back and said, okay, that is my strength. These are my interests. And so, and she actually talks about this in the next paragraph.
So here she talks about the career counselor that she saw also assisted her in putting together a network of people that she knew beyond just her friends or acquaintances.
Yeah, Okay. All right. This was more than just, well, what are you good at? What do you like? But also, who do you know, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what a network is. People in different, maybe different areas, different fields that you know, that you can be connected with.
Did anybody ever help you put together a network of people?
No.
Of course not. Now, the reason I ask that is that these are one of the things that we're never taught. Usually our parents don't teach us, well, how do you build your network, right? Your friends don't even, it's not even something we really talk about.
Right, unless you have a good role model, like unless your parents or your mother or father, they're very good at networking, then you have that role model, but otherwise you're not taught.
Now, sometimes you might have a parent who works in the field, right? So you may have a parent who is a doctor, who is a lawyer,
right,
that can help you network. And that can be extremely helpful because sometimes we know it's about who you know as far as getting opportunities go. But if they don't have any experience in the field, then they're not going to be able to help you at all.
Right. Unless they're in that field that you're going into, it's kind of hard to cross over. It can be done, but for instance, my father was an iron worker and a building inspector. I was interested in being in radio and TV. So there was no networking platform for me there already in place. But it's really, it's something we're usually not taught. Okay, how do I build a networking platform? Mm-hmm. And how does this work? What do I need to do as far as, you know, getting out and meeting people, meeting with the right groups of people? So that's what, Springboard Career Consultants is working on with people, how to do that. Okay, let's get into the next section that talks about, are you taking advantage of people?
Are you taking advantage of people? While some, such as Lurie, took well to the networking concept, McLellan says it can be a hard sell to 20-somethings. Young people tend to shy away from networking because they think it feels dirty. The networking we talk about is not about taking advantage of some uncle. It's about developing a professional network to assist you in achieving your career goals, McLellan said. And don't think you are bereft of a network, a common misnomer among job seekers. Everyone has an alumni network, a family and friends who are in professional positions, McLellan says. And while career counselors might be flying somewhat under the radar, they aren't quite as ubiquitous as the college counselor, the reaction Lurie says she got from her friends is telling about their impending rise. I must have told 35 people about the career counselor I went to see, and they all wanted to go. A career counselor is someone you don't think of automatically. But it's a resource everyone, particularly in their 20s, could use, Lurie said.
Okay, we finished the last section talking about how Rebecca Lurie was helped with setting up a network, a group of people that can help her progress in her career. So we start this section with the question, are you taking advantage of people? What does that question mean?
Well, usually when we see this term, take advantage of someone, it's in a negative way. You're using that person for your own benefit or trying to get something out of that person. But here, when we're talking about networking, it's not in that context.
And there's a very strange sort of like comparison of taking advantage of someone, which a lot of people would say would be negative, and taking advantage of something. And you would take advantage of something that's usually a positive thing, right? So you take advantage of an opportunity, or you take advantage of a skill. I mean, it's using it in a positive way, where normally when we say take advantage of a person, usually it does have kind of a negative connotation.
Yeah, and there is a way to network.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to network, and Emily McLellan can help people out. She helped Rebecca Lurie out with the way to network. So, and there's a way to do it effectively so that you do it and so that even the people you're dealing with don't feel used by you. Instead, want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a different outcome then. People want to help you instead of feeling like, oh, wow, this person's just using me. So, and there's a skill to this. Anyways, it says here that Rebecca Lurie, she took well to the networking concept. What does that mean, took well to something?
Well, it just means that you naturally start using it and taking advantage of it, and it isn't a struggle in order to get the concept.
Yeah, that's kind of unique because McClellan says it can be a hard sell to 20-somethings. What's a hard sell?
Well, something that's difficult to sell, something that's difficult for 20-somethings to accept or to buy into.
Okay, and McClellan goes on to say young people
tend to shy away from networking because they think it feels dirty, just like what we were talking about earlier. It feels like you're using someone.
Okay. When you shy away from something, you try to avoid it. You're not real comfortable with it. Feels dirty. The word I saw was it might feel sleazy. S-L-E-A-Z-Y. Something, I feel like I'm not doing it for the right motives, and I just don't feel, you know, I'm being honest with this person.
Right. A lot of people, I think, also, you know, associate it with what we would call nepotism, right? So you know somebody, and because you know them, you get a job. So like your dad or your uncle, and you're not really qualified, but you do it because you're related to the person who's making the decisions.
Right. Exactly. And that's what is mentioned in that next sentence. The networking we talk about is not about taking advantage of some uncle, but however, it's about doing what?
Developing a professional network to assist you in achieving your career goals.
Okay. All right. So this is a professional network. It's not up calling Uncle Joe and say, hey, give me a job at the law firm.
Right.
Right. This is about a professional network. And a lot of people do this very effectively. And the thing is, when people get frustrated in their career, a lot of times people feel, I don't know anybody. But McClellan says, not so.
Right. She says that don't think you're bereft of a network. And that means that, you know, when you're bereft of something, it means that you are missing something or have something that's a great loss. Right. So like maybe the loss of a loved one or a family member.
Yeah. And she says this is a common misnomer among job seekers.
Right. So a misnomer is usually a name, but here it can be an attribute that is not suitable or doesn't fit. So thinking that you don't have a network or you lack a network, that is something that is actually not true.
Right. When we become frustrated in our job search, we kind of almost shut down sometimes. And one of the things we shut down is the understanding of, well, how many people do I actually know? And it's kind of surprising. You would surprise yourself if you actually took some time to think about this. Well, who do I know? And, McClellan says everyone has an alumni network, a family and friends who are in professional positions. The alumni network, the alumni being from our university or college, that's the group of people that graduated from there. Most people completely forget about that one.
It's true.
Completely forget about, wow, there's all these people from my university who probably would be willing to at least talk to me or maybe take a look at my resume simply because they went to the same school. So there's a big network right there. So this is something that it's really interesting as we finish here the last two paragraphs. A lot of people don't know about career counselors.
Right. They say here that career counselors might be flying under the radar. So that means that are kind of not what people think about or not what people would detect, right?
Yeah. They aren't quite as ubiquitous as the college counselor. Ubiquitous.
Right, something that's found everywhere, or like that appears everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You had a college counselor, right?
Yes, they were always there.
Always there. You're sitting in an office.
Uh-huh.
Very, you know, and then people like go there like 1 month before they graduate.
Exactly.
And they say, help! And they're like, well, where have you been for the last 4 years? Right. So anyways, these college counselors are there, but however, career counselors are a new thing for young people to consider. But it's really interesting. We talked about Rebecca Lurie earlier today, and the reaction that she says she got from her friends is telling about their impending rise. We're talking about, first off, when something is telling, it's surprising, mm-hmm. and it shows interest. with people mm-hmm. about the impending rise of career counselor, the upcoming, the future rise. And what did she say?
Well, she said she must have told 35 people about the career counselor that she went to and that all of them wanted to go as well.
Wow, she told 35 people. That's a lot of people she told. So, and she continues by saying,
a career counselor is someone you don't think of automatically, but it's a resource everyone, particularly in their 20s, could use.
Yeah. Would you consider a career counselor now?
Sure. I think at any age, even outside of that 25 to 35
yeah.
age range, late 30s, 40s, anyone who is thinking about a career change, you know, who wants to shift gears, mm-hmm. a career counselor would
yeah.
be good to consult.
I think that especially now that things are changing so much, that new things are being developed in the workplace, that career counselors could also be really helpful in identifying the ways that your skills and what you know could apply to things outside of what you would traditionally think to be your career path and give you some really good options and opportunities.
Yeah. I think you both make some good points, and I think a career counselor is helpful for people of all ages. And again, I see this when I go out and I train people in companies, that I see people not just in their mid-20s or mid-30s that might be a little bit lost in their career. I see people in their mid-40s and mid-50s that would benefit from career counseling,
sure.
mainly because be ready for some career shifts in your life. Over the course of 30 or 40 years, we no longer do one thing. Be ready. You may do three or four different things, work in three or four different fields. So just be ready for that. Be flexible. Be willing to adapt. The other thing is write down your goals. About every 5 years, write down your goals for your 1 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. This will help you sort out, well, what is it that I wish to accomplish not just in my work, but in life. So that's another thing most people don't do. Only 5% of the people actually ever write down their goals. Thanks for being here for day two of Navigating Your Career and Workplace. Come on back tomorrow. We're going to help you figure out how to keep things calm at work.